afternoon and welcome to this business briefing. It's Monday, the 6th of October. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen, standing in for Alec Hogg, the founder and editor of biznews.com. Last week, we saw positive jobs data out of the US, and that is still fueling positive sentiment across the markets, with another rate cut expected out of the US Federal Reserve in November. Market commentators are weighing this positivity up against the geopolitical risks that are still front and center, given the situation in the Middle East. Let's hear from Magnus Haystack from Brenthurst Wells, who shares his take on the markets.
Whenever you look at markets, you have to start in the United States. We all tend to think that the JSE and South Africa is the centerpiece of the world and we determine what happens in markets, but that's not the case. We're a very small player in the global thing. So it's all driven by what's happening in the United States in particular and in the global market. And so what do we have right now? We have a phenomenal bull market in the United States. It just hasn't stopped this year. Whether you look at the NASDAQ, you look at the S&P 500, and more recently, you even look at the smaller caps. And I noticed Alec has started buying the smaller caps in the United States. It's been on a tremendous tear. And then you have the classical formula when the United States cuts interest rates, markets all over the world boom, including South Africa. We benefited tremendously. So we've had a very good month and a good quarter in South Africa. We had the rand strengthening, perhaps overshot, in my view, in the short term. And you look at emerging markets starting to make a comeback, South Africa, China with its stimulatory package. So it's all going well right now. Whether your money is offshore, you're making money in dollar terms, making money in rand terms, all the asset classes in South Africa are running. So long may it last, but.
Well, is there a big but? I can't interrupt you there. Go ahead with the but.
The but is, of course, what could happen in the Middle East that could derail this very Goldilocks scenario. That could derail it. It depends what happens between Israel and Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas. So that's something one has to look at. And then just for some added fun and spice to markets, we have the U.S. presidential elections coming up in less than 30 days. And, you know, now people are starting to ask, who is better for markets? Is it going to be Trump or is it going to be that other lady?
Who do you believe is better for markets? Everyone talking about the Trump trade. Are you in that camp?
You know, I believe that Trump will be better for your markets. And we don't want to talk politics, but I think he'll be more decisive in decisions that he'll take. Whereas the Democrats have got a very slant towards socialism, more taxes, more intervention, which generally markets wouldn't like in the United States. So I'm a Trump man, I'm afraid to say. And I think if he does win, I think it'll be good for markets and good for a stronger rand, a stronger currency, which might impact the rand. But that is the nature of markets. We don't 100% know. We have to diversify our bets. And it's not a horse race. We put all the money on one horse and hope that horse wins. It can break its leg.
The full interview with Magnus is available on biznews.com. Tesla posted results last week, and Alex spoke to veteran fund manager Walter Ehlert from Ehlert & Co., who agrees with Cy Jacobs from 361 Asset Management that Tesla is way overvalued.
Now, Tesla's results have just come out, and they are, I know you've just got back from overseas, so and I don't even know if you follow the company at all, but he reckons that this thing is way overpriced, overvalued. There's going to be a lot of interest from South African investors in Tesla, not just because Elon Musk comes from this country. But do you have a view on it overall?
Not specifically. I mean, we do have a view on Tesla, and particularly, you know, demand for electricity and energy, and that we have a very, very keen interest in that environment. But I think what Cy is probably highlighting more than just Tesla is money has no value at the moment, and it hasn't had any value for probably since, I think, when long-term capital started, when Greenspan came and just flooded the markets. And the central bank governance, in my opinion, have been hijacked by the politicians all over the world. And at the moment, we have a generation of investors, the unreliable ones, that are used to easy, easy money. And I mean, it's, I can show you 8 or 9 companies like Tesla that, that certainly don't warrant their valuation. So we as long-term investors are being tested. It reminds me of the old days of 99, the value investors really struggled. If you remember, Orbis and Alan Gray were down. They really suffered, and look how they came back. And I think Si's correct in that respect. There's just too much hot money flying. And it's a generational thing. And But I think how long it takes to unwind, I don't know. It's very hard. We've run a global fund for 3 years now. We don't own tech stocks. We look a bit stupid, but that's fine. It's people's money that we're looking after. And if they fire us for being conservative, but so be it. And I think shorting is another thing. You know, we don't short as a house. And our two colleagues that were allowed to short in their own name, because we don't allow staff to invest either in their own names. They have to invest in the funds. But I gave them permission to short Tesla, and they got killed. And they will never short again, you know, and in their lives the lesson. And so Si could be right, but we could all go past being right until we get proven wrong.
Magnus Haystack has an entirely different view on Tesla and would not be selling his Tesla stocks under any circumstances.
I don't know enough about Tesla to try and have a battle of minds with Si Jacobs and Walter Ayler. I'm not smart enough. And I look at this, and I've been watching what Elon Musk has been doing with his companies, and I've been reading many, many reports that it's not an automotive company; it's a software company. I mean, if you just look what's coming down the line with these robo taxis, I would be very hesitant to not have Tesla in my portfolio. I happened to visit the Tesla factory in 2017. It was an investment tour organized many years ago, and we visited the Tesla factory, and we had a presentation on Tesla. And, you know, at that stage, I realized we have to start buying Teslas. I will not sell my Teslas. I don't care what they say. With all due respect, as we say in the business, I am not smart enough, but I am not selling my Teslas. No ways. I mean, we're dealing with Elon Musk, who is, he just lives on another planet. So I will not, I would disagree, politely disagree with those gentlemen.
Magnus also weighed in with his view on gold as a safe haven, especially in light of the escalating Middle East tensions.
Look, gold has proven the last 10 to 15 years that it's been an excellent investment. The last year, exceptionally good. You know, it has been a safe haven away from a lot of uncertainties. It's a pity that the South African investing public is not that invested in gold. It's very difficult to get invested directly into gold as a South African on the South African market. You can buy Kruger Rands over the counter at the bank, and there's gold ETFs, but you cannot buy on any platform in South Africa direct holding in gold. You can do that offshore. So there are always the means of doing it. And gold has done what it normally does in historical times. It's done well. It's protected value, not you know, necessarily runaway capital gains. So it is playing its role. You know, gold at $2,600-$700,000 an ounce is an astonishingly high level, and it's been rising ever since Gordon Brown sold all of the UK's gold, or most of the gold, when the price was $250 or so 25 years ago.
And of course, I had to get Magnus's view on the rand. He feels the upside is overdone, but does point out that there are many variables that play a role in determining the rand's value.
Look, you know, at the beginning of the year when the rand was at 1930 and 1940, I spoke to Alec and I said, I will not take money out of the country at 1940. But everybody and his man was suddenly now recommending offshore investing. There were seminars and webinars and who knows what, but I said, no, 19, I cannot say that. At 17, or anywhere around 17, I'd say now is perhaps a time to consider taking money out. You are taking out at a very, very nice discount. What the short-term movements in the rand will be, Nobody really knows. It all depends on so many factors. So the rand will hover around the current levels. It's being affected by interest rate differentials, uncertainty in the Middle East, and also a renewed focus on emerging markets. That's one where one has to look at what's going to determine the rand, and of course, China. If China stimulates its economy, it will be good for South Africa. That is for sure, because they buy our stuff.
Moving away from the markets, in his weekly Sunday show with BizNews' Chris Stein, Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, unpacks what he calls the wrecking ball politics. And he believes that they are currently reaching epic levels in South Africa, and talks about some of the politicians who are at the forefront of political infighting. Let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, I think the song Wrecking Ball. Chris, this is not new. So start off there. There will always be good cop, bad cop in politics. I think more that we talk about Helen Godzilla and we talk about the GNU, the ruptions caused, John having to go back and mend things and speak. You can either say it's an internal tactic or it is just what it is. It is a wrecking ball scenario of people that have a conflict of opinion, not in the sense of strategy, but in the sense of approach. So we remember the massive blow-up between Helen and Cyril Ramaphosa within the GNU talks, John having to go and say, but let's get back to business. We now find, if you remember a couple of Sundays ago, we spoke about the Freedom Front Plus in the Western Cape with Corneille Mulder. Remember, that was a ruption that lasted 2 weeks, where more and more the Freedom Front Plus took a negative approach to the DA style of management, the DA style of propaganda and rhetoric. And they were getting out of municipalities where they were co-governing. And Corneille Mulder took a very hard stance. In actual fact, two or three municipalities did suffer the consequence. And then we heard through the grapevine that there was going to be the call that Dr. Pieter Groenewald and John Steenhuisen would, on a national level, as the leaders of both the DA and the Freedom Front, have a discussion. We now know such discussions have taken place between the two to quell the problem on the ground. Not that the ground necessarily is listening to what the heavens are saying. And we now find that the fight did not stop. There was a continual still rumbling on the ground in the municipalities. And now we get this massive media statement leaked. Or what is leaked and what is not? And yeah, leaked. Yeah. Oops, WhatsAppy. And then they'll send it back and say, can you delete it? Was the wrong number. But you've already screenshotted that story. So Pieter Groenewald now makes a statement in saying, can Helen Zille stay the hell out of the progress that is being made between the Freedom Front Plus and the leadership of the DA? So the current scenario is Helen, on a certain event last week, again makes the statement that there are certain Freedom Front Plus leadership that have gone rogue, that are absolutely fighting the national system of the Freedom Front Plus, and that is the suffering of the consequence. And Pieter Groenewald, as you know, the doc, will not take that on the chin because he is a person that commands his structure in his way. So there we have it, the unsettling again of the rumor of this wrecking ball, Helen, who, as we know, and we don't have to expose that, has got a very, very specific way of dealing and handling matters. But it seems, Chris, that continually when the volcano is just about to settle and that we are getting molten lava to calm down to turn to absolute foundation, kaboom, we have the volcanic eruption of Helen coming in. And this is forming a pattern, it seems. So we've got to watch and see if they can patch it up again.
To close out today's BizNews briefing, Alex spoke to Don Mube, Director of Kinetico Energy, at the recent BizNews Investment Conference in September, and asked him when they will start delivering gas into the South African market.
Yeah.
When will you be able to start delivering gas? Who will buy the gas and what will they do with it? And are you sure the market will still be there when you're ready to deliver?
Let me tell you something that happened practically. One of the things that we wanted to do is that we wanted to make sure that the gas that we take can be converted into power, into electricity. And therefore, we started saying we're going to have a proof of concept. And we then take the molecules of gas, we put them into a machine, which was produced by Balorand here, in Boxbeck. And we took it on site to take our gel gas and put it into it, and we're able to produce electrons. So therefore, we're able to produce electricity. So that's one of the things that... So we've proven that it is there. Now we have this 6,000 square kilometers that we have to do to drill. The gas is there. We've found it. We've used it. And it can produce power. But it can produce other things. It can be used as a substitute for diesel. One of the things that my farmers, my neighbor, they say to me, listen, on Hof and plan, what can you do for us? Is that I've taken some of their tractors and converted them so that they don't use diesel, but they use gas. In Soweto, the Soweto guy says, I go to Limpopo. I go to Bree Street. If you go to Bree Street, you'll find a garage there that says virtual gas with green. The guys there, we've changed the engines to be a hybrid, to be dual, where she starts with an ordinary petrol and he changes into gas. He goes to Limpopo and back without filling the tanks. I had a guy who sits here, who sat on the N2 with his wife and counting the trucks that were going there. He says, Don, I got tired. And my wife said, let's go home. It was more than 1,000, 2,000 trucks with so many tanks of diesel. That is a substitute. We can go into fertilizers. We can go into plastics. I have around me mines that are coal mines, and this is a substitute because it is cheap input cost compared to diesel.
Interesting developments on the energy front in South Africa. Kinetico Energy, certainly one to keep an eye on. That brings us to the end of today's BizNews briefing. The markets are relatively flat as we move into the close, although we are seeing pressure across most of the resource stocks today. The Rand is holding its own, tracking at 1735 to 1755, level to the US dollar. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen, standing in for Alec Hogg. This is your daily BizNews briefing.